The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM, Hits 103.9 FM in Accra, in Love 99.5 in Kumasi, and streaming worldwide on myjoyonline.com, Xspaces and YouTube. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via partner stations, including Radio Max in Takoradi, ATL FM in Cape Coast, Volta Premier in Ho, Radio Justice Tamale, Jakpa FM Big P, KTU Radio Koforidua Sky in Sunyani, Dreams FM, Volgatanga and Radio Max in Takoradi. Coming up just 2 hours before the 2026 mid-year budget review, Joy News is learning government will introduce no new taxes. Instead, the finance minister is expected to outline measures to boost revenue and account for spending on key infrastructure projects. We'll hear from the technical advisor to the finance minister.
Media statement over the last, you know, couple of years. Media, you normally don't go asking for supplementary estimates. That really has been the trend over the last, you know, few years.
Well, we have details plus hear from Ghanaians and industry players on what the expectations are ahead of the announcement. We have a 360 coverage for you plus crossover live to Parliament, where the team led by Kwekwa Santi and George Riafi are on standby for the very latest. Also this afternoon, fintech fraud is on the rise, with criminals increasingly exploiting digital payment channels. We hear from Haptel's head of internal affairs.
When you look at the report, 97% of the total fraud that happened in the industry is coming from fintechs. Where is the other fintechs to propagate the fraud message?
Also this afternoon, find those involved and punish them. Request by two Ghanaians to the International Criminal Court to investigate attacks against foreign nationals in South Africa.
This should send a signal to other countries that you cannot just wake up and meet out inhuman treatment to immigrants in the name of being citizens and the immigrants not being citizens. No, we are in a globalized world.
Well, the Africa Union has, chairperson has meanwhile promised the issue will be addressed at the next Africa Union summit. Also, former Environment Minister Professor Kwabena Frimpong-Boateng says Ghana must completely restructure its transport system by introducing intra-city bus services to ease the burden on commuters.
Workers spend 2 hours in Trotro covering a distance of 3.3 kilometers. So, working days in Accra average over 12 hours when commuting is added.
And in our live story, we'll tell you about how two men who were on admission turned a hospital ward into a boxing ring.
There were accidents and emergency from us when I'm sitting there because when Kosha, me pay here because I remember me, you know, two men, and I'm going to come on my problem. I think I'm going to say, can't go back on it.
We have the latest on this and more with me, Mami Sinyamiche Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless and credible. Do stay. Now, 2 hours from now, Minister for Finance Dr. Kassiel Atuforsen is expected to tell Ghanaians how government has managed the economy in the last 6 months of 2026 and what it will take to maintain the current economic gains for the rest of the year. The 2026 mid-year budget review, Joy News is learning, will touch on major policy shift, including taxation, solutions to revenue generation challenges, and also update Ghanaians on road and education infrastructure projects. And my colleague Maxwell Klobotu joins me. Details of what we're learning ahead of that 2 p.m. presentation. Maxwell, how about we start with how government is performing in terms of major economic indicators?
Yeah, Mamiesi, when it comes to the performance of the economy, let's just touch on a few macroeconomic indicators which actually speak volume when it comes to the economy. First has to do with our growth rate as an economy. Quarter one of 2026, we had recorded 6.4% growth. And in November, when the finance minister was presenting the full fiscal year budget, mm-hmm. he mentioned that, in fact, the whole of 2026, we are going to look at 4.8% growth when it comes to the whole of 2026 fiscal year. When we look at our reserve ratio as well, we are currently doing 5 months of import cover, mm-hmm. and then we are looking at 12.94 billion US dollars. Inflation too, we are currently doing 5.3%. And in fact, the finance minister made mention in November that we are going to stay within the Bank of Ghana's target. That's the 8 plus or minus 2%. So currently we are doing 5.3%.
All right, Maxwell. Well, let's talk about what we're learning in the upcoming budget. What do you know?
Yeah, Mami, we've picked up lots of details when it comes to this media's budget. First of all, has to do with the fact that revenue collection, from what we have learned, they are not going to be the introduction of new taxes, Mamesi, mm-hmm. but rather we are going to hear from the minister when it comes to tightening the revenue collection, okay. especially when it comes to VAT, because our checks actually show that about 50% of VAT that are collected does not actually end up being paid to the Ghana Revenue Authority. Mm. And to stop that, the government will introduce some new systems to actually cater for that. There will also be some amendments when it comes to the excise duty. For example, we'll hear the scrapping of excise duties from fruit juice coming from outside the country.
Okay.
When it comes to the domestic debt as well, about 58 billion cedis will be paid back on the domestic debt exchange program, of which about 30 billion cedis will actually be due in February next year. So okay. we'll be hearing about sinking fund that has been in place to actually ensure that we can meet these obligations, Mamesi. We'll be hearing this and many more from the finance minister today.
Thank you. Maxwell Aklabato is a member of the research desk here at Joy News. While on the Super Morning Show earlier, technical advisor to the finance ministry, Dr. Theo Champong, has indicated that government may not be asking for more money in this review.
Really around the public finances, what we are getting in terms of revenue, what we're spending the money on, the key priority projects that government is undertaking. And when I was coming, I heard you talk about a few of them, like the Echamanfum Bridge and then all those other special policy initiatives. And then also what's happening broadly within the external environment and how that fits into, for example, your exchange rate and inflation rate expectations.
Well, we're learning that there'll be no request for supplementary estimates. Are we right?
So if you look at most of our budget media statement over the last couple of years, media, you normally don't go asking for supplementary estimates. That really has been the trend over the last few years. What is very important is really to try and signal what you're doing on revenue and what you're doing on expenditure. And then if you have to reprioritize certain expenditure line items, you do that.
We can also listen to the academic community saying government must continue its control on expenditure and improve incentives to businesses through low tax rate. Let's hear from Professor Ejapoma Jeche Dako.
I'm expecting that we would continue to rationalize our expenditure. We should also confirm that the fiscal targets, deficit targets, and primary surplus targets that we set are also really intact. I expect that the government would reaffirm its commitment to no new tax rates so that there will be some stability for the business community. But that said, I would also be expecting that we would focus on aggressive domestic revenue assurance. We should try and meet our revenue targets so that even if we have to spend more, we would still be within the fiscal deficit targets that we have set for ourselves.
And you heard the Professor Ejapoma Jeche Dako. She's a professor of economics at the University of Ghana Business School. Well, let's go to the regions now, starting from the Upper West region, where Rafiq Salam is standing by. Rafiq, who have you been speaking with? What are the expectations ahead of the budget review? Rafiq is joining us on phone. Can you hear me, Rafiq? We don't seem to have Rafiq on the line right now. But let's try and get Martina Bugri, who is also joining us from the Northern Region. Martina, what do you say people are saying in the region? We'll also get Martina back on the line. But let's hear people speaking to my colleague Emmanuel Brightkweku in Kumasi.
We expect the government to create funding or support the NGO environment so that they will be able to apply for those funding and create livelihood opportunities at the community level. And some of these interventions are very important in our livelihood, because the NGO platforms or the NGO environment, they reach the community directly and make sure that project implementation are successful carried out.
Well, let's try again with our correspondents in the regions, and let's go to Martina. Martina, so what are you learning? And then we'll speak to Bride as well. Rafiq Salam is joining us from WA. Rafiq, tell us what you've been learning from people there. All right, so we seem to have a technical challenge with our phone lines here, but we have in the studio with us, let's return to Accra. Gutta, President, is joining us with more on this, and we're grateful to have him in the studio. We're grateful to have you, sir. And this afternoon at 2 p.m., the Finance Minister will be giving us the review of the budget. Tell us what you make of the current economic climate in Ghana.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for having me. Yeah, if Gutta want to make an assessment of the first half of the year regarding the economy, one would say that we have had a very relative positive economy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at all the microeconomic indices, one will attest to the fact that they are all pointing to a very positive direction. And once the microeconomic indices are pointing to a very positive direction, definitely it will have also a very positive impact,
right,
on businesses. So I can say to a large extent, businesses has not been all that bad as far as the microeconomic indices are concerned.
Mm. What would be that one question you want the finance minister to answer in this review?
Well, as for expectations, we don't have one. We have about three or four expectations that we expect, you know, the minister to make some pronouncement on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing, you know, has to do with the duty regime,
mm-hmm,
that we currently, you know, have. You know, prior to the election, we had opportunity to meet the then candidate, and we presented to him a bill of entry. A bill of entry is just a document that all the levies and taxes that you are supposed to pay at the port are, you know, line up on. And after showing it to him, he exclaimed and then promised that if by God's grace he comes to power, he will see what he can do about it. So he used a term called rationalization,
mm-hmm,
that when he comes, he will rationalize the duties. So government coming into power, we expect that the duties will be rationalized. But then they made us to understand that government also needed, you know, revenue to, you know, embark on its expenditure. And
right,
so therefore there was the need to also, you know, put in some revenue measures at the port as far as duties are concerned. And that, you know, culminated in the implementation of the Publican AI. So once the Publican AI has been implemented,
mm-hmm,
and government is raking the required revenue,
mm-hmm,
we expect that the promise of the duty rationalization should be, you know, implemented. Since the introduction of the Publican AI, somewhere in March, government,
right,
has so far raking in about $300 million. And so therefore, we think it's quite good money. So therefore, government now must attend to the duty rationalization. So we expect, you know, the minister to make pronouncement as far as the duty regime is concerned. Then we also expect the minister to also touch on the 24-hour economy, with the passing of the law, we all know that the 24-hour economy is supposed to come into fruitful, you know, consideration. But then, what we are seeing is the establishment of some markets. But Guta, you know, also wants to be part of the 24-hour economy.
In what way, really? Because we understand that the 24-hour economy is already in progress. At least some fuel stations have bought into that, according to the secretariat and all that.
Yes.
In which way do you want to see it implemented?
Yes. We want to be part of the 24-hour economy as far as manufacturing is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, we have submitted some proposals to the Office of the 24-hour Economy. And so we expect, you know, some government support so that at least we can enter into the area of manufacturing in order to create more jobs for our members. So we want to know the kind of, you know, support that government, you know, could give to Guta.
But supporters in, is
in,
it?
In funding.
Funding?
Yes.
Okay.
Supporting funding. Because we cannot do it on our own.
Right.
We expect, you know, some funding support from government so that we can, you know, go into manufacturing.
All right. And so just before you go, we are learning that there will be no taxes, new taxes introduced in this mid-year budget review. What do you make of that?
I think it's a welcome news because I would say the business community is already, you know, overburdened with a lot of taxes, and so therefore, if this time around there are not going to be any new taxes, I think it's a welcome news. What we have been seeing always is to, you know, for them to broaden the tax base so that a lot more people could be roped in. Not that we, those that are already in the net, will always be, you know,
burdened with new taxes.
So it's a good news that no more taxes is going to be added.
Thank you so much, Mr.
Thank
Clement Boateng is president of Guta. Well, let's go to Parliament now and get the very latest from there. Kwekwa Santi is our parliamentary correspondent. Kwekwa Santi, what's the latest in Parliament?
Well, Mami, members of Parliament have started trooping in. Proceeding itself is set to begin at 12 noon. And so at 12, Parliament will start its ordinary business. They will perhaps lay papers, take statements until 2 p.m. when the finance minister is expected to come in and present the media budget review. And yesterday, the members of Parliament started big debate, even ahead of the finance minister presenting this document, where a couple of reports on the economy that have been presented by the Committee on Economy and Development, the minority making their feelings very known, that they believe that a lot of the progress, quote unquote, in the economy is artificial, and that government should take decisions that will go to the structure of the economy to fix it for the long term. And so they've made that point, and we expect that when the finance minister speaks today, and the debate starts in earnest tomorrow, Friday, even Saturday, MPs are expected to set to continue the debate ahead of concluding next week. A lot of those issues will be raised. So, Mami, that is the situation in the House. The chairman and I can count about 8 MPs on the floor on both sides. And any moment from now, we expect the deputy speakers will come in and gavel the House in session, because the Speaker of Parliament himself is delivering an anniversary lecture of the Supreme Court and will come in and preside over the budget, media budget presentation itself at 2 o'clock.
All right, Kweku, thank you for the update. And this special coverage of the 2026 mid-year fiscal policy review will be on Joy News. It's a joint coverage between Joy Business and Joy News, and build-up starts at 1 p.m. sharp. Now, moving on, fraud cases involving financial technology companies and payment service providers in Ghana are increasing, with criminals exploiting digital payment channels to target users. At the Joy News Haptel Dialogue on Ghana's digital economy, Head of Internal Affairs at Haptel, Ebenezer Bofo, said about 97% of reported fraud cases are linked to fintechs and PSPs, calling for stronger security measures and public education.
When you look at the report, 97% of the total fraud that happened in the industry is coming from fintechs. So on our side, I would say that it's going up. Is something that we have to fight together. People have heard about MTN here and there, and MTN usually is in the news or is in the media talking about what is the name, fraud report to 419 here and there. But where is the Haptel? where is the Express Pay, where is the other fintechs to propagate the fraud message?
Well, Ebenezer Bofoso says the value of money lost is more evenly distributed between banks and digital payment platforms.
When we look at the amount involved, I'll say 50-50, because when you're able to hit one bank account, the amount you get there is higher than what you get when you hit a mobile money wallet. So basically, when it comes to transaction counts, fintechs, we are trending upwards. But when it comes to the amounts, it's 50-50. The rare issue is about the number of incidents and not the amount involved.
You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. When we return, two Ghanaians asked the International Criminal Court to investigate attacks against African nationals in South Africa.
This should send a signal to other countries that you cannot just...
Welcome back to the Midday News. This afternoon, Accra High Court has dismissed an application filed by lawyers for former Chief Executive Officer of the National Buffer Stock Company, Hanan Abdul Wahab, seeking to strike out his entire charge sheet. Instead, the court ordered the prosecution to amend counts 9 and 14. Hanan Abdul Wahab and his wife, Faiza Wuni, are standing trial on 20 counts, including allegations of causing financial loss to the state. His legal team, led by former Attorney General Godfrey Obuadami, argued that the charge sheet was fatally defective and urged the court to strike it out in its entirety. Let's head to the Accra High Court and speak to Fatal Bayaga, our legal affairs correspondent. Fatal, why did the judge dismiss the application to strike out the entire charge sheet?
Mami, so the presiding judge, Francis Apanga Chibunga, agrees with Godfrey Obuadami that counts 9 and 14, which are on defrauding by false pretenses and stealing. He agrees that they are defective and that they do not provide sufficient particulars of the offenses against or the offenses against the accused persons. And that is the reason why he has decided to, you know, ask the prosecution led by Deputy Attorney General Justice Rimsai to amend these counts before the return to court on the 29th of July. So basically that was what the judge said.
And his legal team is dissatisfied with the ruling. What exactly was the reaction by Godfrey Obuadami?
Godfrey Obuadami insisted that the whole charge sheet is fake, it is overbroad, it is duplicitous, among other things. And in fact, he said he disagrees with the court's decision that it's just two, or there are just two charges that are defective. In fact, he says that this particular step that he's taken is not to delay the case, but to ensure that the court relies on proper counts to be able to try his client. You can listen to him.
You cannot have various payments, the number of which we do not know. When each of them occurred, we do not know. Where they occurred, we do not know. They are not disclosing it on the charge sheet. And then you say that, well, you're not going to order them to amend, and that charge is proper. That charge cannot be proper. So even though they've been ordered to amend some of the charges, we'll still file an appeal. We'll file an appeal against it. But I think the decision was not so sound. With the greatest respect to the judge. And he himself acknowledges that, yes, every decision is appealable. And it's all with a view to developing the criminal jurisprudence properly. And my consideration professionally is to ensure that the rights of my client as an accused person are protected in every regard before the trial commences. It's not just a matter of delay or anything. It's just a matter of ensuring that he properly ascertains the charges that are brought against him. And no, you cannot have a sum of 15 million put together in one count and you state in the same count that they consist of several payments. Which several payments? When did each take place? Are they related? Definitely they're not related.
And that's Godfrey Obuadami, former Attorney General and lawyer for Hanan Abdul Wahab. Moving on, two Ghanaians are at the International Criminal Court asking to the court to open a preliminary investigation into attacks against foreign nationals in South Africa. The petitioners, Palgrave Bwachi Dankwai, former Ghanaian government spokesperson on governance and security, and Emmanuel Cotton, a counterterrorism and security analyst, say the attacks constitute crimes against humanity. This comes as some African migrants, whom the locals blame for the unemployment in the country, have been killed in protest and in violence. Emmanuel Cotton says this is not right and wants the ICC to act.
It was the sacrifices and sweat of many African countries that brought liberation to apartheid South Africa. unfortunately, things have gone on that we feel it breaks international law. So we invoke Article 7(1)(a) of the Rome Statutes that talk of murder. Because if you look at the situation in South Africa, we recorded fatalities. We also invoke Article 1K. We talk about other inhuman acts intentionally causing great suffering. And you know that the activities of the two young man and a woman brought that much suffering to most of the African immigrants in South Africa. And last but not the least, we came under Article 7(1)(d). We talk about deportation of forcible transfer of population.
Still on xenophobic attacks, a chairperson of the Africa Union Commission, His Excellency Mahmoud Ali Yusuf, says those attacks are a big concern for the African Union. Speaking during a meeting with President John Mahama at the Jubilee House in Accra, he said the issue would be discussed at the next Africa Union summit. Presidential Affairs correspondent Maxwell Gbagba report.
During the meeting, President Mahama expressed deep concern over the recent xenophobic attacks in South Africa.
It doesn't appear.